Praise God. Good to see you here. Amen. All those who are online, I just want to say thank you for being with us and welcome. And all those who are here, I just want to say the same. Thank you for being with us and welcome here. Praise God. Though there be many or few, it does not matter. All we're here to do now is where one or two are gathered, it's just praise God, praise His name. Give Him all the glory, honor, and praise. Isn't that right? That's all we care about.
Thank you.
And to do what's right, pleasing, and good in the sight of God. Amen. I want to also thank all those who have felt led to pray for me. Samuel was gracious enough to print out this printing for me. And dear sister Emily, who felt the need to pray for me, anxiety and to rebuke anxiety, which by the grace of God, she heard correctly, because God only knows, as I had been going through quite a bit this past week, and anxiety was one of them. And I want to thank God for people that are close to the Lord enough to hear God and to be gracious enough to pray and not be afraid to tell me about it. And that really touches my heart. That really moves me a lot. And I thank you, sister, and all others who have prayed for this church, prayed for all those that are here, prayed for myself even. I just want to say thank you. And that the Lord would be here today. That the Lord would be here with each one of us. That the Lord would be with our dear brothers and sisters that are online and all those that are here. Samuel, Leah, Jane, Anna, Sister Diane, and Chuck and Carla, our dear friends that just moved here, Bill and Sue, from California, all the way from California they came. Isn't that something? Praise God. And yet others that aren't here yet today, that maybe will straggle in later on perhaps. And praise God wherever they are. Just we'll lift up holy hands and ask the Lord to protect them, to lead, guide, and direct all of us today. Amen. And help us to be above reproach, to have victory in our personal lives and public lives, that our daily conversation would be led of God. Amen. That our lives would reflect that the Lord is working in our lives, and that we are living lives that are holy before God. I tell you what, that is really the hitting point right there. If we can just grasp what it means, and to truly grapple that, and to get a hold of that, to live a life of holiness, to be pure before God in all our thoughts, our conversation, our deeds, that we would be without reproach. Amen. Isn't that important?
Yeah.
How else could we be called Christians if we don't separate ourselves from the world and be different? So praise God. Why don't we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for this day, Lord, now. We thank you, oh Lord God, for what you're doing. Oh Lord, I pray now that your Spirit, your glory, your presence, your rest, oh Lord God, would fall upon each and every one of us today. All those, our dear brothers and sisters who are online with us today, as well as all those, Lord God, that have joined us in person. We thank you, Lord God, now, because you're the one that's in charge. You're in control, Lord God. And we give it all over to Thee. We ask You, Lord, to take over. And Lord, we pray that Your name be glorified, magnified, praised, and honored. And that we would not be ashamed at all to raise our voices, hands, and hearts. Oh, Lord God. And that these people, Lord God, that have been faithful to show up, Lord, I pray that you would do a special work in their lives.
Jesus.
because there is a premium on faithfulness. Lord God, there is a premium, I know, throughout your whole word, throughout the whole of the Bible, that premium of faithfulness, that Lord God, that you favor so much, and that you reward those who are faithful to the end. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your holy name today. Under the blood in Jesus' name we pray now. And Lord, I also would like to invite you here. Oh Lord, that you would sit among us. You would walk the aisles of every heart, convict and convince people of shortcomings, failures, sins, or to encourage, strengthen, edify, and comfort, Lord God, all those that are in need of it. We thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, the Lord is good. I know that much. The Lord knows how to lead people. And we know that the devil drives people. Isn't that right?
Praise the Lord.
But the Lord leads his people like a gentle shepherd. He leads people. He doesn't drive them.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. So why don't we, today, there's a song I want to start out with that I usually sing last. But today I want to sing that as the first song today. And it's a short one that you all know by heart now, perhaps. And it's called Have Faith in God, number 39 in the chorus. And I love this song because it's simple and it's to the point. Because, see, the Lord knows how to deliver his people, which is going to segue into my message today. And I'm hoping that we can just pray that, sing that, and don't be afraid to lift up your hands and your hearts and your voices. Just let go of all the cares of this world and let God take over. Hey, who am I, right? Who are all of us? We all are poor and needy. We all need the Lord. None of us is any better than anybody else. None of us is more special than anybody else. God is no respecter of persons. He wants a heart that is yielded unto him. That all people, whether you know someone good or you hardly know them at all, to just let go of those areas of your life that would hinder and hold you back from praising God freely today. Because the Lord looks for such a people. And he's glorified in that. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So Amen. Let's praise God today. And give him all the praise, all the glory and honor that is due his name. Amen. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
God for deliverance have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God.
Oh, glory to God in heaven. Praise your name today, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, give everything unto Thee right now. Change us, make us, and mold us, O God, to Thy perfect image. Help us to be yielded vessels of honor. O Heavenly Father, to give You all the glory, praise, and honor among men. To make mention of Your name everywhere we go, Lord God, do not be ashamed of it. To be a witness to the ends of the earth. Thank You, Jesus. Because You send us forth, even among wolves and ravages of evil and wicked men. But Lord, yet You said that You would be with us wherever we go, whatever we do. Lord God, therefore, help us to be equipped to get that word in our heart, in our lives, so that we could speak and bring forth the words of life to people that are dying in a dead world. Thank You, Jesus. Oh God, help us. Help us, O Lord, to be bold.
Oh, thank You, God.
Help us, Lord God, to speak forth Your word to people that need to hear it. For we are not to hide our light under a bushel. We are to be a witness to others wherever we go. Help us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, O Lord.
Praise God.
And we're going to go now today into the hymn book. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Leading, guiding, and directing. Thank You, Lord. Let's go to 112, if you will, in the hymn book, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I want to make mention here, too, that many people are grappling today and struggling with anxiety, with struggles, wondering, what about tomorrow? What about later today? What of my health, my finances? What about these things that are happening in my life that I don't know anything about how to handle them? Oh, dear God, I know that the pressures in life can be overwhelming. They can be overwhelming. They can surely be used by the enemy if we're not careful to just give it to the Lord every day. Because we do need greater faith to overcome. And we need to know that we can trust in the One who has everything in control. In this song we can sing now, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Sing that as a prayer to God. Glorify His name. Amen.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the gilded stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver mine. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. In the past that by His portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, oh, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Many things about I don't seem to understand, oh, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
God, oh Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done.
Oh, we praise you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, give God all the glory. Give him all the praise.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God. There is a song we should probably sing right now. A song that Pastor used to sing quite a bit. Called We're Coming Out of Babylon. Maybe we could go there and sing that in the chorus book there. Number 71, we're coming out of Babylon. And what that means is that you don't give your hearts over to the Babylonish system of today, but you yield your heart, your life over to God. You come out of it. You no longer yield to the things of the flesh and the carnal and the world, but you come out of it. It's a new way of life. It's walking in the newness of life, found only in Jesus. Let's go there. Coming out of Babylon, we're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our hearts down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free, and we shall praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. Taking our hearts down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free, and we shall praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Why don't we just sing one more? I was going to go to the chorus book or to the hymn book again, but the Lord just, I think he's prompted me to just go here. Number 72, for he is Lord. Number 72 in the chorus book, for he is Lord. You know, he's not dead.
That's for sure.
He's risen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, people think that God is some figment of their imagination. He's just another religion. Or they're not interested in hearing about the better way. You can talk to people on the street, I've got my religion. You can talk to people, they say, I'm not interested. Then no, thank you. You could try to hand them the words of life, and they'll slap it away from your hand.
That's right. Often so.
They don't want to hear about it. But you know, on that day, we all know that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord.
That's right.
And what will they do then, in the end?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And all those memories will come flooding back to them on that last day. How that they had slapped away the hands of mercy that could have saved their soul from eternal damnation. All things will be remembered on that day. And it will be magnified in eternity. Let's sing that song, for he is Lord. For he is Lord. He is Lord.
He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Oh, give God the glory, praise, and the honor. Give Him the glory.
Thank you, God.
Oh, praise God.
Thank you, Lord, that we can praise you now. Thank
oh,
you,
praise
Jesus.
God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we worship you and praise you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll probably go ahead and proceed now, I suppose, to take up our just a quick tithes and offerings collection for all those that are available to tithe or give offerings or whatever they would do. Give unto the Lord. And if I could have Chuck, would you be gracious enough to do this for me? Appreciate that. Oh, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, brother. Praise God.
I'd like to mention that the Bowles family, that keep them maybe in a little additional prayer. They've had, again, things come against them, but it's, they seem like one thing after another. So
yeah. Amen. Well, what's going on? I haven't heard anything else. So,
They were?
Okay. Wow. Well, I was kind of wondering about that. Okay. That's why. Yeah, okay. Well, let's. Have you heard anything at all?
No.
Not a word, huh? Okay. Well, let's pray that the Lord would do a work. That He's well able to heal, save, and deliver. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Foss family, Lord God. Oh, Heavenly Father, that You would, oh Lord, by Your strengthening your saving, your healing hand, Lord God, the strength of your right hand, O God, would now come and begin to mend, begin to heal, cover, oh, by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord God, all these afflictions and wounds and attacks, oh Lord God, I pray that right now, in Jesus' name, we all come together in agreement by faith in one accord, and we bind and rebuke the devil, bind and rebuke the enemy right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. And we say, devil, get your hands off of their lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Devil, you've got to go.
In Jesus' name.
And the devil must be bound. We pray, oh Lord God, now that you would bind the devil and rebuke the devil, Lord God, that you would protect that family. Help them, Lord God, to overcome. Lead, guide, and direct them, Lord God. But right now, Lord, they need your healing touch. Oh, Lord God, that they would be made well under the blood and by the blood of Christ, of Jesus, that shed blood on the cross, that was meant for these very moments in time. Oh, Lord God, I pray now that you would do this work as we pray by faith, believing you, Lord God, and trusting you for a better outcome. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for a good report now. In the name of Jesus we pray, under the blood in one agreement, one accord. Amen.
Amen. Praise.
And Lord God, I pray for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. O Lord, that you would use these for your glory, for your purpose. Multiply them and bless the giver. Oh, Lord God, that we would continue to be good stewards, Lord God. Good stewards of what comes to this ministry via money or help or anything of that matter, of that nature. To be good stewards of what you've given us, Lord God. To use for your purpose and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate it.
Amen.
All the good piano. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Amen. The name of the message today is called The Cup of Salvation. The Cup of Salvation. And I would ask you to join me now in the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. The Cup of Salvation is the name of this message today. And I want to pray one more time, oh, that the Lord would help me to get His words out. Lord God in heaven, I thank you for this message. I believe, Lord, it's a timely message. Lord, I believe it's a word from you. But Lord, most of all, I believe and I pray and it is my desire, Lord God, not just mine only, but Lord, I know that this comes from your heart, that you want to help people. People need to know that you are willing to help them, to save them and to heal them, to deliver them. Lord God, that people would receive your word, because Lord, I know that your word does not return void. I pray that it would go forth now into the hearts, be planted in good soil, that it would grow, multiply, and strengthen all those, Lord God, that would hear this message today. We pray in agreement under the blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Lord God, help us. I pray that we just go now to Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. It goes on to say here now, as we start Paul talking, and he says here, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You see, when somebody condemns you as a heretic, when somebody tells you that you're false, that you don't hear from God, that the things that you say are wrong, oh no. You can tell them no. The biggest word here is now. It is the present tense. It is telling us right now that there's now no more condemnation. You don't have to receive that condemnation from people that try to hamper you and hinder you, to try to take away the victory that was wrought by the Holy Ghost. No. Our victory stands as evidence done on the cross through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. That is the evidence of our salvation. The blood of Christ that was shed. That is a sure foundation found in Jesus. We don't have to go try to find another way, a better way. Jesus already laid that foundation. Amen? He bore that condemnation. We deserve that punishment, but He bore it for us. Jesus died only one time, and He stands in glory, so that we did not receive that condemnation in death. Amen? Oh, but it goes on to say what? "For the law of the Spirit, of the life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, Jesus found a better way. He found the remedy. What does it say in verse 3? But first of all, before we go there, I want to make mention that when you're new in the Lord, that old life is past. That sin life, that old nature, no longer should rule your life. It should no longer dictate to you what you should do, how to live. Happy is the man that is liberated and freed from the chains of the sin nature that held you bound for so many years. Amen. For we're under a higher law now. That higher law is the Spirit of God. Life of the Spirit. In verse 3, it goes on to say, For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." You see, there was a remedy, and Christ condemned sin in the flesh that we might escape damnation. Amen? That we might escape it. They'd be set free forever. Not bound by the chains of hell. Let's go to verse 4. Amen. What does it say in verse 4? "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What does that mean? Oh, it means that we are to conform to the will of God. Our lives should take on a new nature. Conformity to the Word and to the will, to the Spirit of God. Amen. And then what does it say in verse 5? For they that are after the flesh, what does it say? They're after the flesh. They look after the flesh. They go after the things of the carnal. They look to those things. They're inspired by them. If you could ever be inspired by it, I don't know why. I don't know how, but people are. But it says here, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What is that nature? You could talk about the nature of wolves and sheep, can't you? The nature of a wolf is to devour. But the nature of a sheep is to receive, to be led, and to feed patiently in pastures wherever they are led by the Good Shepherd. And verse 6, for to be carnally minded, it says here, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why don't we go to Galatians real quick, if you would. Go to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Go there with me. What does it say in verse 22? 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Oh, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law against such things that make you free. When you are free in Christ, you are free indeed. Amen? There is no law that can come about and try to shackle the things that God gave you as a free gift. You see, it says in verse 24, what does it say? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You see, you've got to let the old nature die, then you've got to bury it in the waters of baptism. Amen? Let the old nature die away. But then it's time to bury it for good. There comes a time when you got to let it go. And then comes the waters of baptism and walking in the newness of life. Amen. Praise God. You see, baptism is probably one of the most significant symbols of what a person ought to do with the flesh. Treat it as a dead thing. Bury it. Let the new life take its place. Walk in the newness of life. If we live in the Spirit, it says in verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, there's no love, life, or fruit in that, is there? There's no hope in that, because you see, when you're driven, when you're competing, when you're after vainglory, it becomes the things of the flesh and carnal. It is a self-defeatism thing. It is fruitless. It is boundless in its pursuit to take over. But we know that there is other. There is better ways that are found in the words of life, that give life, that keep you on the straight and narrow path. There's a better way. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 7. in verse 7 now, if you're there yet. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Did you see that? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is a traitor. It's suspected and convicted. It is that fatal deficiency. The carnal mind will keep you down until you're dead. It's in the flesh nature. But we must be born again, wrought by the Holy Ghost. There is no life in the carnal, only dead. Only deadness lives there. Only darkness. But God calls us into the light to come out from among them, out of darkness. Amen? In verse 8, let's go there. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Peter meant well, according to Matthew 16:22, when he was talking to the Lord. Remember that? How that he was talking to the Lord? Maybe we can just go there. Matthew 16:23. Matthew 16:23. Perhaps, we could just go ahead and start out in verse 22. But I want to preface this by saying something. You see, when our minds are set on things that are of the carnal and of the flesh, it brings forth death into our lives. And we need to take on, and we take on its nature. But walking in the Spirit brings life and peace and rest. It says here in verse 22, Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus cuts right to the chase. He gets right to the point with the devil. He doesn't play around with the devil, neither should we. He doesn't allow things to be entertained with evil thoughts. The devil said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Ought we not to do the same? Get thee behind me, Satan, when those evil thoughts come to you, flooding in, coming in like a flood, tempting you with things that you ought not to be thinking about or doing. Get thee behind me, Satan. In verse 24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Oh, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to take up your cross? What does it mean? Oh, what does it mean? Oh, what does it mean to do that? Follow after me and take up your cross. Is those just religious words that people like to read and then promptly forget what the Lord is trying to tell them? But you know, that cross that the Lord talks about is called the narrow way. It's a road that few people find in this earth. It's a road that few people find because it's a difficult road. It's a road that is full of, you already know, most of you, but for those that don't know, it's a road filled with traps and snares, with every evil thing lurking behind Not saying that there's a boogeyman behind every tree. I'm not telling you that. But I know that we need to be careful how we walk, talk, how we live, because the days are evil. The days are short. We need to redeem the time. And there's not much time left. And it's an urgent cry. It's an urgent matter to consider. If we don't take up our cross now, we'll forever lose it. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow never comes. We already know that, don't we? I've said that over and over. Tomorrow never comes. But it's true. If people put it off and put it off and put it off, it'll become a habit. Then it becomes a part of who you are, your nature, your character. You put it off and you put it off and you put it off. Today, my friends, today is a day. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it, it says here. So, my question then is, what have we got to lose but death and hell? What have we got to lose but all that is wicked, evil, and undone? But by giving your life, by serving God, by taking up your cross, by walking down that narrow road, by living in peace and harmony with your brethren, by loving God and loving others, by taking that road that not many people follow. Oh, but that's the right road, isn't it? Some people will tell you, well, how can it be that that's the right way when so many others, when there are billions and millions and millions and millions of Catholics that believe this way? How can they all be wrong? Has anyone ever told you that before? I've heard that a few times. Just a few times. And, you know, the Bible says that very few will find that narrow road. Very few. Are we among those few? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he, a man, give in exchange for his soul? What possible thing can you give in exchange? Do you have anything that you can pull out of your back pocket and say, Lord God, I'll trade you this for that. Lord, I've got something in the garage I can give you that'll hopefully equal what you've done for me. And somehow, Lord, that'll be the great equalizer. I've got something in my house. I've got a lot of money. I can maybe try to buy my way out, Lord God. I'll try to finagle away and manipulate, and I'll do all I can to. You see, people try to tread their own grace and pour out that into their own cup and make it the wine of heaven by good works, by their own works. They try to tread out those grapes of works and call it the wine of heaven, don't they? There's no hope in that. No. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So let's go back now to Romans 8, verse 9, if you will. Romans 8, verse 9. And it says here, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hey, I don't care if you're a preacher or a bishop or a prophet, a priest, what you call yourself or who you are in life. You can preach and you can teach and you can hold platitudes and you can hold office and you can hold degrees of every kind and have not the Spirit of God in you. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't manipulate God. You can't fool people forever. And you certainly, it won't do you any good in that day. Oh, how we need to have the Spirit of God in us. That seal of promise. Amen?
Amen.
It goes on to say in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, it says here, the body is dead because of sin, see? But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because, see, God's Spirit is righteous. By any other spirit, it's a lie at best. Every other spirit is a lie at best. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. Go there with me. Okay, let's go to verse 7. It goes on to say, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, oh, but not in despair. Oh, but you see, in this life, the body is sick. It suffers decay and corruption. It is under the dominion of death, isn't it, because of sin? Because of sin, the body is dead. But there had to be a better way, and the Lord showed us. But let's continue here in verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, the devil would have you believe and think that you're destroyed forever. Try to take away your joy and your peace. Try to take away your victory. Try to take away that trust that you have in the Lord. And put fear instead of faith in its place. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You see, what's in your heart comes out of the mouth. What you believe is in your heart, it comes out. The tongue is on your heart. The heart is on your tongue. Isn't that true? What you have in your heart will come out of your mouth. Sooner or later. That's what it means to become transparent. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You see, we have, hence comes the many pains and aches and sorrows, heaviness and weariness, infirmities of age we experience. As long as we bear with us this body of death on earth. But we faint not. For it says here, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Praise God. Let's go back now to Romans. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, the letter killeth, doesn't it? But the Spirit of God gives life. Amen. The letter killeth. All that is of the law, all that is, without the Spirit of God, it kills. It destroys. There is no life. But when you walk in the Spirit of God, that is where the waters of life come bubbling from your belly. The waters of life that you will not thirst again, that the Lord talked about. Therefore, it says in verse 12, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. To live after the flesh, no. Praise God, we're not there. We don't have to live after the flesh. Because it says here in verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. You see, if you don't kill sin, sin will kill you. Isn't that right? So what do? But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Praise God. We have the remedy. But without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. It's God who gives you the Spirit and the power to overcome. To overcome every weakness. It goes on to say in verse 14 now, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, oh, they are the sons of God. I'm reminded of two men who, as young missionaries, were led to go to a village in the northern province of China where the Mongolese people live. Prior to that, it's a village of just a couple of families that have never heard the gospel except one little child. Is prior to that, years before, someone from Korea had come and given that one child a book about Jesus. And this young child, that day, as these two young missionaries set out, it took them 6 hours to get to that remote village in China. And that very day, that morning, this young man, this young little boy and his father said that they were going to go up to the mountain and pray. And the young boy said, "Papa, Jesus is coming back soon." And the old man says, "Well, I'm going to pray to my God and you pray to your God." And he says, "If your God shows up, then I'll believe in your God." So as they began, they went up into the mountain, they prayed. And they came back later that night, only to find that these two young missionaries were there talking about Jesus, spreading the word. And they came to tell him that Jesus was real. And this man right then and there gave his heart to Jesus. They told him the story of Jesus and what it means to have a relationship with him. And he gave his heart and his life, and he believed. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Lord led them there. Amen. Oh, but it goes on to say in verse 15 now, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Praise God. Abba, Father. That spirit of adoption.
Yeah, amen.
You see, in the old days, in the old Roman adoption, if you were adopted, you lost all your rights from that old family, but into the family you went to, you had gained all the new rights. The old life of the adopted son was completely wiped out, with all debts being canceled completely, with nothing from the past counting against him at all. And so it is with us. We're adopted into the family by God. He has adopted us. Amen. In verse 16, oh, what does it say in verse 16? "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." There is going to come a day when we will die in Christ. We will be considered co-workers, co-laborers, joint heirs together, doing a work for God. And then comes that day when we go into our reward, when all our chores will be finished. He'll call us up yonder. He'll call us up to meet him in the air. Amen. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." There's no comparison. For what will you compare the heaven of God, the kingdom of heaven? "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." You see, creation is subjected to the futility of man. The sin born by men. And from the ultimate, however, to the ultimate redemption of men. That they would benefit. But you see, right now, the earth groans. It moans. It's coming undone. Because of the sin of mankind. All the corruption. All the sin. "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." That would be the redemption of men. Amen. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, to redemption of our body, O Lord God. The corruptible must put on incorruption. Amen. That is what it means to be redeemed in the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that which we see not. Then do we that patience, with patience, wait for it. We wait for the consummation of adoption. That's what that is. The redemption of the body. The consummation of what the Lord began in us to do a work will be finished when we are redeemed once again. When He comes back to receive us unto His own, the first fruits of the Spirit. We thank God. Likewise, it says in verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not that we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever prayed such a prayer? Have you ever got into that depth where you groaned and you moaned? You couldn't speak words because they were too far out of reach for you to express in words. But you got to that place where only you could moan and groan in the Spirit. Cry with an unutterable language by the grace of God. It goes on to say here, oh, for he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he that maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. Oh, why don't we go to 1 Corinthians, if you will. Chapter 14. Real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You see, we often pray best when we think we've prayed our worst sometimes. Sometimes when you just get into the mind, the Spirit of God, and you think you haven't prayed very well because you haven't said all these flowery words to God. Sometimes just the nitty-gritty, getting down on your knees with tears coming down, flowing, moaning and groaning. But what does it say here? Follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Oh, praise God. He speaketh mysteries. When you don't know how to express yourself, God knows the mind, Spirit. He knows what's in your heart. In verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Oh, when you're so full of anguish and sighing and crying in prayer, that becomes the most critical essence of that prayer right there. That becomes fruitful and meaningful. Amen. Let's go back to 8:28. Romans 8:28. And what does it say in Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, that includes all that trouble you're going through right now. Your aching head, your heavy heart. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God's got a purpose for you. You might think that, Lord, how can it be that you have a plan for me, Lord, when everything seems to go wrong? On the outward, everything seems to go wrong, completely wrong. Oh, Lord God, what did I get myself into? Boy, have I ever asked myself that question many times. Boy, have I ever. But then I begin to see the Lord turn things around. Oh, God knows how to do what you could never do. Not in the flesh. Because it comes to that point we have to yield to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, you take over. Because I can't do anything here. Lord, it's either you or I'm out of here. Either you're here, Lord God. I can't be here if you're not here. I'm not going to stay, Lord, if you don't want me here. That's the place you got to get to. And that's where I've been. Many times. But the Lord shows up every time. And then He has people that will pray for you. Like Emily today. That lady online who the Lord put the Lord put me on her heart to pray for me. I praise God for people like that, for people like you, for people all over who will be gracious to pray for others, who will not forget your brothers and sisters who labor in the Lord. Who am I, though? I'm not a pastor here. I'm just a co-laborer with you. Isn't that right? We're all brothers and sisters. We want to make it. We want to help each other to get to heaven, don't we? That's why we're here. Not here for titles. We're not here for notoriety. We're not here for anything on the outward expression that is vainglory at best. Who cares about titles? Isn't that right? It's nauseating to me, I can tell you. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, oh, them He also glorified.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And what does it say in verse 31? What shall we say then to these things? Hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? Right?
Praise the Lord.
One person plus God becomes the majority. Isn't that right?
Praise the Lord.
If you have God in your life, you could come against the very gates of hell and you'll be the majority. Amen?
Yeah.
He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Not just me, all, it says here. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? But what does it say here in verse 33? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Hey, look. What can man do to you or me? Who can come against you or me when there is a God in heaven that intercedes on our behalf? that sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us. What do we have to fear? But then it says in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Did you see that? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Oh, but it is written here, doesn't it say that? For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But someone might ask you, hey, what is your persuasion in life? What is your persuasion? What do you believe? Tell them and alert them to read Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, you can tell them, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what you can tell them. Amen. Oh, the salvation of God, that great cup. Why don't we go now to Psalm 56? Turn there with me, if you will. Psalm 56. David understood well the salvation. He understood the cup of wrath, the cup of sorrow. There are many cups, but then that cup of salvation is what we all must drink one day. Hopefully, all of us can say that we can drink that. Be merciful, it says here in verse 1. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me, it says here. Oh, the merciless enemy of the devil, sin, death, and hell are merciless. They don't care whether you live or die. They want your soul. They want your soul while you're yet living, and then they take you to death. That second death. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. Oh, it says here, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Oh, David's enemies were many and mighty. But who did he appeal to? He appealed to the Almighty who would put them to flight. Send them away for good. Oh, praise God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Oh, happy is the man who can trust in the Lord when he is afraid, but happier still is the one who can say, I trust and will not be afraid. Amen. In verse 4, oh, what does it say in verse 4? In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my faith, my trust rather. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. You see, a trusting soul is a singing soul that becomes courageous. And faith in God drives out the fear of men. Amen. In verse 5, every day they rest my words. Oh, all their thoughts are against me for evil. David had many who laid in wait for him, ambushed and to trap him. But what is the key? We neither trust in fear, but we put our trust in the God who is able to deliver us. That faith overcomes fear. Verse 6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They lay in ambush. They wait. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Oh, they sought to cast David down, so David prayed that the Lord would cast them down.
Amen.
God was the mighty deliverer. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Every tear, O Lord, every such tear of the poor and needy is gathered into God's bottle. And be a swift witness against the wrongs of committed till that day when they are atoned for and avenged. That day is coming. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Oh, praise God. Hey, if God is for you, who can be against you, right? Isn't that right? In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. The one who praises God and trusts God loses his fear of men. That's the truth. It says here, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. You see, David remembered his vows before God. And they should never be lightly made when we make a vow to God. And they should be faithfully performed and carried out. We should be faithful to God as He has been faithful to us. Amen. It goes on to say in verse 13, oh, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Oh, that cup of salvation. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living? Oh, in the land of the living, not in the land of the dead. Jesus is in the land of the living. And His people will meet Him there. Let's go to Psalm 116, if you will. Psalm 116, if you will. Oh, praise God. Let's start in, I'll start in verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Did you see that? But then He says here, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. This is the rest that Jesus invited the weary and the heavy laden. That same weariness that you feel in your life. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Oh, God will wipe away the tears from all faces and rebuke from off the earth. He will wipe away that rebuke from your life. You'll be a man and a woman without rebuke. And He'll wipe away all tears. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, it says here. Oh, He's the keeper of our feet, isn't He? Where will you walk? You will walk in the land of the living, among the saints of old. Oh, I praise God for His wondrous works. I believed, oh, it says here, therefore have I spoken. Is that not a common theme in the Word of God? If you believe in your heart, will it not come out in your lips? It says, I was greatly afflicted. Are you greatly afflicted? Do you have reason to cry out to God for deliverance? It says, they that be of God, though there be few. See, we enter into the kingdom of heaven with much affliction and tribulation. Oh, praise God. But He delivers. There is hope. There's strength in that hope. That hope of glory. It goes on to say, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Oh, can you trust nearly a man or woman that you see anywhere anymore? How hard it is to trust anyone. But you see, there comes a time and place where you've got to trust someone somewhere. But you just give it over to the Lord and you trust Him to work all things out in your life, in their lives. Sometimes you've got to be willing to be smitten. You've got to be willing to take a crack across the face with their slapped hand. You've got to be willing to be that one who people persecute and defame and malice, and be willing to take it for the glory of God. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation. This is where I got my message. And call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, that cup of salvation stands on the table, filled to the brim with the wine of heaven, filled with the joy and the comfort and the hope and the peace that God gives. Not only should we hold that cup with trembling hands, but we should take it to our lips and say, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. It goes on to say, verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. David understood character. He understood what it meant to faithfully carry out his vows. He made a promise. In other words, his words weren't cheap. In other words, if I can go further still, what he said, he meant, and what he meant, he said. I know I've harped on this for a long time, but I'm a big believer in that. I believe if you can't speak words of truth, then you're not worth listening to. Don't tell me anything anymore. And I carry that same mentality when I speak to others. If I can't speak the truth to people, then I ought not to say anything at all. It's not worth it. Then my words don't mean anything at all. Isn't that right? They've got to mean something. In the days of old, your word was something. And you shook someone's hand, and it meant something. It goes on to say in verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, the work, their work. There comes a time when their work is finished and the Lord calls them to rest. Happy is the man who has labored and not fainted. Isn't that right? Absent from the body, they are present with the Lord. In verse 16, O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. What does that mean? If we could quickly go to Isaiah chapter 61. Quickly turn there, if you will. And it says here, oh, the Spirit. I just want to read a few. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Did you see that? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, for the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. You remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah who repaired the breach? Who, there was no great miracles done in his life. Nehemiah, who had repaired the breach of the old Jerusalem when they were destroyed. And how that he just rolled up his sleeves and he went to work. He saw there was a need and he helped. He put his hands and his feet and his brain to work, to do a work for God. And God used him. He saw the need. Amen. It goes on to say here now, in verse 17 in closing, in 18 and 19, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Did you remember that? When you take up that cup of salvation from off that table and you take it in that trembling hands and you let your heart be given over to the Lord, you humble yourself. Let all the profane thoughts and tempers and lusts of this world that war and wage a war against your soul be banished forever. Amen. Here, in that place, is where the godly mourn over sin, where humility owns unworthiness. Amen. Where the contrite in heart embraces the humility which leads to reaching out your hand to other people, your neighbor in need. It goes on to say now in verse 18, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. praise the Lord and glorify His name forever. That's it. The cup of salvation. Letting the Lord do a work, a mighty work in your life, whereby you yield to His presence. You yield to the fruit of God's Spirit. You tremble because you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. With trembling hands, taking that cup of salvation before God. With humbly beseeching Him, seeking after His mercy, seeking after God's work in your life to be completed, fulfilled. Seeking God to bring you from that one place, out of the flesh into the light, from death to life, from the old way to the newness of life, renewing your mind constantly with the Word of God, the washing of the water of the Word of God in your life, walking in the Spirit of God, living in the Spirit, no more touting the arm of the flesh, holding its hand, courting its disasters. No. No. Because in the end, it'll bite you. In the end, it's only a sinkhole. In the end, it'll trap you. You'll be in that floor, that prison house of self, of the flesh. And there'll be that straight path before you. But in front of that path will be a bar, a gate, locked. And there's the only one key to open that gate. And that is the blood of Jesus, found worthy in your life, that would cause you to change, cause you to want to live for God, to change your nature to the new nature, to put away the old ways of thinking, to put away those old attitudes that you had even before you knew the Lord. When you're a new Christian, we should be changed into the likeness and newness of the Lord, who He is, His image. When we should no longer be people that would hold grudges against others, that would hold anger in our hearts towards somebody, that would be annoyed at somebody, because to do so is the opposite of grace and mercy and truth and humility. But when you walk in humility, you prefer others before yourself. The old way is washed away completely. That's how you know you're walking on that straight and narrow road to heaven. You see these little signs, these markers along the way that show you and lead you, that comfort you. Lord, is this the right way? Lord, show me. Lord, am I obeying Your Word? Am I reading Your Word, Lord God? Am I in prayer before You? Oh, Lord God, am I convicted over sin when I do something wrong? Am I able to apologize to people, to confess my sin to You, Lord God? Am I able to get right with others and get right with You? Oh, that's the mark of a Christian. That's the mark of somebody changed. That's the mark of somebody on their way to heaven. And I want to end with that. drink the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation is full of woe. It's full of pain. But it's also full of glory. Full of salvation. The prophet had to eat the words of God. It was bitter. It was sweet to the mouth. But then it became bitter. And so it is in our lives. But the Lord promised that He would turn ashes to beauty. He would turn the captivity of Job. He would turn that life around. Today, this morning, before church, the Lord prompted me to go along the river where I live and speak to people about the Lord. I had a chance to come back to the church and grab some tracts and go back over there and hand out tracts and talk to people, ask them if they know the Lord. And it's nothing that I do that matters, but it's what the Lord does through me that matters. Amen? It's what the Lord does through you that matters. If we will be a light and walk in the land of the living, if we would come out of Babylon and be separate, if we would have that heart to reach out to the lost and dying world who have no hope, who live in darkness and can't see, they can't hear, unless somebody goes to them, unless they are sent to them like these two young missionaries out in the northern province of China, who in God's perfect timing wrought a great work in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now we're going to sing a song in closing. And I want to sing a song here called Jesus Paid It All. In the hymn book 127, Jesus Paid It All. You may have to kind of help me out a little bit, Shirley. It's been a while since I've sung this. Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt a heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garment white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stood in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Oh, give glory to God and praise His name and be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He can put the back of the Pearl River in the fast one. Take him to found that boy. Wow. All this is going to be wonderful.